In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you follow Bishop Usher's way of counting history, then the earth is, at very least, over 6,000 years old. And if following that counting of time, there have been over 2 million new days since the universe was first created. That number does not seem quite so high these days when we're used to hearing of billions and trillions when it comes to government spending and the stars in the universe, the miles throughout space. But in that amount of time, 2 million days and more, no 2 days have started exactly the same. People have changed. Countries have changed. Landscapes have changed. Even the clouds, or the lack thereof in the sky as the sun rises, varies from day to day. Even so, each of those new days has brought the same struggles and difficulties. The world continues on in its sin and its corruption. Catastrophes rain down upon this earth. Diseases and violence disrupt and destroy lives. It never seems to end. And yet, that first Easter was very different indeed. The women who had followed Jesus went to his tomb expecting the same old reality. They had watched as the breathless clay of Jesus' body was removed from the blood-stained cross. They bore witness to the transport of Jesus' corpse to the nearby tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. For them, Jesus' death was not any different from the other deaths that they had seen in their lives. His body still needed their attention, spices and ointments placed upon him one final time. How Jesus had died, though, was unlike any other. He had been betrayed into the hands of the twisted religious leaders, and they had sold him out, and they had persuaded the Roman governor to have Jesus executed. For 6 hours, Jesus hung on the cross. His blood came pouring out, staining the earth, and calling to mind the bloody sacrifices by the hundreds, by the thousands, in the Jerusalem temple. Words of forgiveness, of scripture, and of peace came from his lips as his body failed him. None of their family or friends, of those women gathered there that day, had died in such a way. No one ever had. And so Jesus was laid into a tomb, large enough for a whole entire family, and a large stone was placed to secure the tomb's entrance. The Sabbath would begin that very same evening as the sun set, that first Good Friday. The women would return the following Sunday to finish their proper work, their care, their treatments of their dead, early on that first day of the new week, once the Sabbath had concluded. And of course, they found the complete and total opposite of what they expected. With the tomb coming into sight, as they rounded a nearby corner, they saw the stone had already been rolled away. They were not aware of any presence of any guards at the tomb when they left that Friday evening before. But several were there, lying as dead men on the ground. Two angels stood by the women as they viewed this uncovered tomb. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." Remember those words. Why were they seeking the living among the dead? They should have known. They should have remembered. Jesus had been right. about everything before. Why would they doubt him now? Really, it did not even matter. Their lack of faith or any presence of it did not change what was truly real. The tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. He had risen, just as he had said. It would take a while for that news of Jesus' resurrection to sink in for these women and for all of the followers of Christ. Jesus would appear to them all in the upper room that same evening, and the disciples, they would witness the resurrected Jesus for themselves in the flesh. And Jesus would make a similar appearance the following Sunday, since Thomas was not present with them the first time. It was great news that Jesus was alive again. But what did it all mean? How could they process all that they had witnessed? It would take the gift of the Holy Spirit, sent 50 days later, to grant them full understanding of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We certainly see this in the world around us today. Unbelievers simply reject the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Even if they might entertain the notion, they cannot begin to comprehend what it could mean. And yet the Holy Spirit is there. He is working through that word of Christ, the word stating that Jesus is risen from the dead. That is his word, and he uses it. Through that word, the Holy Spirit does indeed cause sinners to consider Jesus' resurrection and what it all means. As they desire then to know more, the word of God is taught to them, and the truth of the resurrection is made known. You and I, we have had that truth revealed to us. The Apostle Paul documented his inspired understanding of Jesus' return to life. He called Jesus the firstfruits of those who are raised from the dead. And if he is the first, then there must be all others to follow. Paul asserts then, by Christ's own inspiration, that such resurrection is promised to those who are united in Christ, and done so in baptism. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, Paul writes. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Jesus' resurrection from the dead was a full, total, complete resurrection. Others had been raised from the dead before, like Lazarus and Jairus' daughter. But they would go on to die again, not Jesus. Death no longer had any dominion or power over him, Paul writes. Jesus has secured the full and final victory over sin and death. And so death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? For the victory and the sting of death is gone. Jesus has taken them away in his own resurrection from the dead. And he gives us that victory. Jesus' resurrection from the dead marks a defining moment in all of human history. Christ's death on the cross brought an official end to the former days, as talked about in the Old Testament. All sin has been paid for in the life and death of Jesus. His blood, holy as God's own, is the atonement that all sinners need. And his resurrection from the dead then ushers in a new era, the latter days. And these days press on in that glory of Jesus' resurrection from the dead in the light of his empty tomb. We live out these days in that glorious splendor of Jesus' own resurrection. A new day has truly dawned. Everything now is different. Even though it may not look like it, it truly has been changed. This life as we know it will finally come to an end. We will one day breathe our last, like all the saints who have gone before us, breathe our last in this fallen creation. But thanks be to God, we will breathe again on the last day. On that day, the Lord Jesus will return in all of his great transfiguration glory, and he will call you from your tombs, from your graves, as he called forth Lazarus, as Ezekiel prophesied, over the valley of the dry bones. So Jesus will prophesy over this dry earth, and you will be brought back to physical life in your body. And the breath you take on that day will be of the finest, purest air you have ever known. And you will be raised imperishable, for Christ has been raised imperishable. As it has gone for Jesus, so it will go for you. That is his promise to you, sealed with his own blood and confirmed by his resurrection. It is his gift, freely given to you as he has cleansed you with his word in holy baptism and fed you with his word in his supper. The new day has dawned in our Lord Jesus Christ. For behold, he has made all things new through his resurrection from the dead. And he will make you new once more when that final day dawns. Until then, we join the church in heaven and the true church here on earth in confessing Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.